Psalm 3, we'll go to Psalm 38 real quick. Psalm 38, we're going to read one scripture, jump right in the message today. I want to be done, dismissed by noon. We want to make sure we have enough time for the funeral home to come in and get everything situated for that. And I hope you folks will be able to make it out for that. I guess I spoke with Pam, her daughter, Miss Helen's daughter, before we left for Teen Spectacular and planning everything, getting everything ready to go. And she said, you know, they originally wanted to do it on maybe Saturday, but obviously it's good that we didn't plan that because they had Miss Burley's on Saturday. But she said, you know what? It's on Sunday. And she said, how fitting is it that it's on Sunday afternoon for Miss Helen Kidd? Served so many years of her life on a Sunday on that organ. And how fitting is it? So hope you can make it out for that. Psalm 38, we'll jump right in the message. I want to make sure I'm done quickly. And we make it out a little bit early. So if we have ushers in here or someone that went, if I finish earlier than normal, if you could just run down and let Super Church know so that they know so they're not expecting and having to cut things short. So when I start the invitation, if we could have maybe someone from the emergency response team or an usher go down and let the junior church know. Psalm 38, and look at verse 15. Psalm 38 and verse 15 says this. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. In a world filled with war, strife, violence, murder, people who have no fear of consequences, destruction, earthquakes, devastation, all the things that we read about in the news, total chaos in some places in our world today, in a country filled with wickedness and sin, and divorce and abuse. People who have zero respect for authority. A country that doesn't really agree on much, it seems. A struggling economy. People that have no homes, no food. Maybe even today in your own life. A broken home. A disappointment. A disappointed parent. A wayward brother or sister or son or daughter. Maybe no job. Maybe financial difficulty. Maybe a hurting heart that nobody knows about. Maybe a troubled past. Maybe fear of the future. Maybe wondering what you've gotten yourself into. Unsure if you'll be able to do what you need to do. A life that seems to have lost its sense of joy and purpose and meaning. After all that, may I give you a biblical truth. With God, there is hope. Amen? With God, there is hope. We read Psalm 31:24, and it says this, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Psalm 33:22 says, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Psalm 38:15, which we just read, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Psalm 39:7 says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Psalm 42:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 71:5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Psalm 71:14 says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Psalm 119:81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Psalm 119 verse 114 says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. Psalm 146:5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now you know that it's not just the words of Pastor Donald Sabini, but from the very word of God, it says, with God there is hope. Never, 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 never forget that with God, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what this country goes through, no matter what this world goes through, with God, there is hope. Amen? With God, there is hope. The only hope for this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for this nation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for this state and for this city and for your life and for your wayward son or daughter and for the teenagers and for your witness, the only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. With God, there is hope. You think of the story of Job. And what Job had, Job was a blessed man. Perfect and upright in all his ways, the Bible says. And he was a blessed man. And he gave his glory to God. He probably was a hardworking man. He had land. He had wealth. He had a beautiful family. Things were going great. And the Lord allowed the devil to tempt him. And Job lost everything. You can think of the story when it says another man came and said, your land is gone. It's been stolen. And then another man came and said, your cattle and your livestock is gone. And all these different things. And then finally, the most terrible news of all, when they come and said, unfortunately, your children are all dead. And after Job lost everything that he had, he still could say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With God, there is hope. Listen, it's the Lord's desire that we trust in Him. It's one of the Lord's greatest desires that we, as His people, trust in Him. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know the Scriptures, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Listen, for the lost world, His desire is for them to trust Him as their Savior, which many of you, hopefully all of us, have trusted Him as their Savior. But as His children, for the saved, for the Christian, His desire is for us to trust Him as our Father. I have four boys, and I want them to be able to trust me as their father, to keep them safe, to provide for their needs, to love them. His desire for you, Christian, today is to trust Him as a father. The word hope in the dictionary is a verb. It can be a verb or a noun, but as a verb, it's to expect with confidence. To expect with confidence. As a noun, it says someone or something on which our hopes are centered, as in looking for that blessed hope. Amen? A desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. I mentioned to our teens this morning, we're going through a series on the dangers of social media. Listen, that wasn't preached on us because we didn't have a lot of social media when I was a teenager, and I'm not that old. But listen, Siri, don't talk to me. I got my timer on and Siri's yelling at me right now. All right, let me get back to where I am. There we go. We're talking about social media this morning, the past few weeks in Sunday school, about the dangers of it. And then listen, folks, maybe I know some of maybe our seniors, you're not on Facebook, that's okay. But the generation today is obsessed with social media, Facebook, and all those different things. And listen, if we don't warn about the dangers, then they're going to mess their lives up. So we need to talk about it. But I said, listen, don't try to find fulfillment in social media. Don't try to find fulfillment and joy in how many likes or comments you got. I said, no, the only fulfillment and satisfaction, true satisfaction, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's true fulfillment. It's trusting in God as a Father. With God, there is hope. I want to share today quickly four things. Four things. If we hope in God, it will produce four things. Number one, when you hope in God, when you decide to place your hope and trust in a loving Father, when you hope in God, number one, you get happiness. You get happiness. Now listen, every one of us can find something to complain about. Amen? We could. I can complain about the fact that I'm short. I've been this height since I was like 12. Listen, I remember in 7th grade, I was 4 foot 11 and a half. I'm like, come on, just round up. Come on, nurse, just round up for me. I'm the shortest kid in class. Man, if I get picked on, and if you met my dad, maybe my dad's even shorter than I am. And listen, I could complain about being short. I could complain about being skinny. Too skinny. Say, don't complain about being skinny. I want to be skinny. Listen. Hey, when everybody's always saying, you need to eat more. You need to eat more. Listen, you're like, come on, I eat a lot. How many know I eat a lot? Amen. Yeah, I go hand over the room. I see that hand. Listen, any one of us could find something to complain about. And you know what? Don't we often find things to complain about? We do. We could. But listen. If you know me well enough, and I hope you do, you know that I'm a pretty happy guy. I love my life. I love being at Loomis Park Baptist Church. I love being the youth pastor of these precious teenagers. I love my precious wife, Marissa, of 7 years. I love my four boys, Donald and Seth and Charlie and Brady. Listen, I love my life. I love my red Dodge Grand Caravan. Man, God provided that for me. I love my job. I love the friends that I have. I love Pastor Mark and Miss Lindsay. I love Brother Bryce, Miss Jordan, all the friends in the room. Listen, I love the members of this church. I love my life. I love that I get to preach this morning. I love the Word of God. I love that I got to bring the teens up to Team Spectacular. I got to see God work. Hey, I'm happy. I love my life. And listen, when you decide to hope in God and to trust in God and to place all of your life on the altar of God and say, God, I'm going to hope in you. I'm going to trust you. Listen, it will produce true happiness. Many of you maybe had a lifestyle before you were saved of drugs or drinking or something like that. And maybe in those times, you did find a little bit of happiness for a short time, but it faded away, didn't it? It faded away. True joy is found in Jesus Christ, in hope in Jesus Christ. I am blessed beyond, you know what I forgot to mention about all the things that I'm happy about? Hey, I'm saved. I have a home in heaven, praise the Lord. Man, that's enough. If I had nothing else but belief in Jesus Christ in a home in heaven, that's enough. That's enough. Oh, I'm happy. You think of the song that we sing so often here. God's been good. Amen? You think of that second verse. I'm not going to sing because my voice is hoarse, but that second verse is time for play. And I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses. And I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me. Undeserved. God's been good. Amen. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, and I've heard many of them variations of this next line. Some people say, I wouldn't change Him if I could. Some people say, by my side, He's always stood. And they both, and I heard one time, the person who sings that song said, I'd even change some if I could. And listen, it's okay. Listen, we look back and mistakes we made. I would change some of the mistakes that I've made. But through it all, no matter what you say, God has been good. Amen? There are times of hurt. Precious Wedge family, times of hurt. Times of brokenness. The precious kid family that will be with us today, I pray this morning. I say, Lord, yes, Lord, please help me today. But Lord, help the kid family. Help those precious people who've lost a mother and a grandmother and a family member and a friend. Lord, help them. There are times of hurt. There are times of sorrow. But He is there through it all. And He's good through it all. Through it all, God's been good. He's there for us to rest upon. He said, come ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. In those times of hurt and sorrow. And listen, even in those times when we fail, and I fail, I don't always hope in God like I should. But I want to try to hope in God. I want to do my best to put my total trust in Him no matter what comes through. And if I can do that, even when the trials do come, I can still have joy. Listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen? Amen. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's okay to smile. I love looking out during a song like the guys just did, and I want to see who's smiling and who's not. And it's hilarious. It used to bother me, but now I just laugh at it. You know, you got people that are, man, and then you got people like this, like, during that happy song. I could trip and fall flat on my face, and you still wouldn't laugh. Listen, I'm not going to, but listen, hey, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Are you depressed? Are you discouraged? Are you upset? Are you hurting? Hey, hope in God. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Better than any therapy, better than any medication, better than any drug or bottle. Hey, with God, there is hope. When you hope in God, it'll have happiness. Psalm 146:5 said, happy is he that after God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happiness is an outcome of hope in God. Do you want happiness today, folks? Do you want happiness? Yes. Hope in God. Number two, what else do we get? When we hope in God, we get happiness. Number two, when we hope in God, we get opportunity. We get opportunity. Opportunity to do what? Things that you never dreamed that you would do. Listen, this is a reminder. This is not a feel-good message of, oh, you can, this is, hey, this is Bible. When you hope in God, he will give you opportunity. He will give you, he talks about, as we have therefore, Galatians chapter 6, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Those of you who think that you never have opportunity to do something for God, you're not looking. You're not looking. Things you never dreamed of doing. There was a time, and listen, I'm only 28 years old. I'm not that old at all. I'm getting older every year, obviously. But there was a time just a few years ago when I came back from college. And I went back to my hometown, Holyoke, Massachusetts. And I was there and I got married. And we had a little apartment there on Route 5, close to Northampton, Massachusetts. And we're trying to pay bills. My wife was a CNA, and we had no kids yet. And we're, you know, I'm working as a temp, and I'm working a job. But listen, all the while, nothing wrong with being a temp, nothing wrong with being a CNA. But I knew that God had called me to preach. I knew that God wanted me to be a youth pastor. And I said, man, hey, I'll do it, God. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. But Lord, what's going on? I remember praying and saying, God, what's going on? I served in my local church. I led the singing. I got to help with the kids' ministries and the bus ministries. But I said, God, I know they want me to be a youth pastor. I know they want me to preach, God. But I decided. I tried my hardest. Didn't always do it during that time. But I remember certain times I can go back in my mind to the specific moments when I finally, in all my maybe discouragement, yes, I admit, I was discouraged at some time. Yes, I was surrounded by my loving family and people I grew up with my whole life, but I knew that there was more out there. I knew that God had something. I just didn't know what it was. And there'd be times that I got discouraged. I'll never forget driving back from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, where my family lived. I think it was President's Day weekend. I had Monday off of work. And I'm heading back up Monday evening to go back to work on Tuesday and drive forklift and work in that fertilizer company. And I remember sitting there driving with my wife, 3-hour drive from Cape Cod to Holyoke. And I remember driving with her. I remember thinking, man, I don't really want to go to work tomorrow. And not just because I didn't want to work. I'm talking, I don't want to go back to that job. I'll gladly work. But I want to do what God called me to do. I want to be a youth pastor, and I began to battle that. But in that, I never forget, in that car with tears on my face, I said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to figure this out. And I began to pray more, say, God, if there's something out there. And listen, through it all, those times, God began to give opportunities. And praise the Lord, we just celebrated 5 years here at Loomis Park. God is good. He's given opportunities. He'll give you opportunities. Listen, it's not about just money and a job and all those things. Those won't bring you happiness or anything else. Listen, the opportunities that God gives you are the ones you need to take. Amen? Amen. With Jesus Christ leading the way. Man, the greatest opportunities you can ever get. I've got a beautiful wife and children. Listen, it's a wonderful opportunity that God's given me to be a father. God gave me that. God gave me the opportunity to be a husband, to be a youth pastor, to invest in young life, and I love it. Amen. Opportunity. When you hope in God, he'll give you opportunities. Listen, you can be used for him no matter who you are in this room today. Listen. We heard a great message up at Teen Spec. Remember guys talking about, Brother Judah talking about Joe. That guy Joe, not this Joe, another Joe in West Virginia. He only had one tooth. You got more than one, okay? And Joe got called to preach as a teenager, but he didn't listen. And he became an alcoholic. Praise the Lord, later on in life, he got right with God as an older man in his 60s. And he began to help. He asked, he said, Brother Judah, which is the youth pastor there in West Virginia at the time, he said, Brother Judah, you think God could use me in the bus ministry? And they said, yeah, Joe, come on, Joe. And then he told a hilarious story about Joe and how Joe went out and found all these kids in Broadmoor Church, and God began to use him. You know what Joe did? He looked for opportunity. He didn't just sit down and say, well, I missed my chance to serve God. Well, now that I'm 60, I guess I just need to sit back and wait for heaven. No! He said, I want to serve God. I want God to give me opportunities. And he went out looking for it. Listen, you are not useless. You are not worthless. God has a plan for each one of you, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a senior saint. God has a purpose for your life. When you hope in God, he will give you opportunity. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Praise God for Miss Carol Ann. You know what Miss Carol Ann's ministry is? She prays. Hallelujah, she prays. And you know what, Miss Carol Ann? I feel your prayers. Today I feel your prayers. Listen, that's a ministry. That's an opportunity that God's given her. Brother Bryce drives our bus. Helps out in their butt. Hey, he went out looking for opportunities. Some of you sing specials. Some of you play instruments or play offertory. Miss Robin plays the piano and sometimes is it the flute, right? The flute. Listen, that's a ministry. That's an opportunity to serve God. As an usher, as an ERT member, whatever it is, hey, you're looking for opportunity. When you hope in God, when you trust in God, he will give you opportunity. He'll give you opportunity. Man, we get to serve God. Hey, we get to serve God, the creator of the universe. Hallelujah. What is man that thou art mindful of him? My goodness. Opportunity. The Bible says, he who began a good work, he will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'm going to use that scripture today with Miss Helen and Miss Helen's service. Miss Helen didn't just serve the Lord, she served the Lord with gladness. Amen. We can learn from that, can't we? I mean, don't serve the Lord with a scowl on your face. Serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, I've got to move. Number three, when you hope in God, when you trust in God, you get happiness. You get opportunity. Number three, go to Isaiah 26. Go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Man, I love Loomis Park Baptist Church. Isaiah 26. In verse 3 says this. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Number 3, when you hope in God, he will give you peace. Amen, Miss Nelly? He'll give you peace. Give you peace in times of difficulty. Miss Nelly had so many health difficulties over the past 2 years. And every time I went to visit her, you know what I saw? Even through pain, I saw peace. I saw peace. He will give you peace. I told our teenagers this week, I said, you know what? God has saw fit not to give me many trials. I've had my share of difficulty in my own life, maybe you know, here and there, but nothing drastic, in my opinion. God has been so good to me. But even in those difficulties that may not seem like much to you, but they were for me, were for my family, when I tried to do things my own way, when I tried to figure things out in my own power and in my own strength, I always ended up discouraged. I always ended up picking up pieces of the mess. I always ended up trying to figure another way out. But listen, when I finally came to myself and tried hoping in God, you know what he gave me? Peace. Peace. Whether you're sad, whether you're mad, listen, sometimes people are brokenhearted, they need peace. Sometimes people are angry and they need peace. Maybe today you're angry. Maybe you're upset with someone. Listen, anger, the kind of anger that I'm talking about right now, is not of God. It's not of God. When you decide to hope and trust in God, look to him, he will give you peace. Whether you're sad or mad or scared, talk to some teenagers this week that are lonely, that are brokenhearted, that are scared about the future. Listen, they need peace, hope in God. Whether you're hurt, listen, whatever it is, the peace of God will lift you to a higher place. Lift you to higher ground. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart. Listen, shall keep your hearts and minds. We always think about the peace of God, past all understanding. But what does it do? It keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. He will keep your heart and mind. Man, that's good. The peace of God. Think about Jesus. I think about the story of Jesus in the boat sleeping. And the storm began to come. And the rain, the thunder, and the lightning. The disciples, what they do? They got freaked out is what they did. They got scared. And they went down and said, Master, care us not now that we perish. And Jesus came. I just picture it. I can't wait to get to heaven one day and take out the old VHS tape of the storm on the Sea of Galilee and pop it in the old heavenly VCR and watch it live. I mean, that'd be exciting. But I can just picture in my mind as these disciples are hanging on to the beams and probably up chucking over the side of the ship and everything's swaying, and Jesus, I can just see him. I can see, even though the boat's rocking and everybody's trying, Jesus has perfect balance, is what I picture. Everyone else is tripping over themselves, and the waves are coming in there, and they're slipping in the water, and they're hitting their head on the side, and Jesus is just walking the side of the boat. Because he's the Son of God, walking the side of the boat. And I can just see him looking probably at Peter and giving him the look like, come on, who do you think I am? You know, whom say ye that I am? Peace, be still. I don't know if he used his hands. I don't know if he whispered it. Listen, if you want, you could have just whispered it over the sound of that thunder and lightning and rain, torrential downpours. Peace, be still. What happened? Calm. And listen, folks, in your life, when the storms of struggle come, when the winds of doubt blow, when the lightning and thunder crash, when the rain pours down on your life and it seems like you can't do anything, when the money isn't there, when your life's a mess, when your kids are away from God, when your parents split up, when you don't know what the future holds, hey, in all of that, Jesus says, if you hope in him, peace, be still. When there seems to be no hope, hey, let me tell you, there is a hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. No matter what it is that you're facing, when your sin seems to enslave you, there's a hope, and it's Jesus Christ. He will give you peace. He will give you peace. When you hope in God, you get happiness, you get opportunity, you get peace. And number four, this is last. When you hope in God, when you depend on nobody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, you know what you get? Everything you need in life. When you hope in God, he is everything you need. Why do we look for happiness and opportunity and peace in everywhere else but the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that in this world, in this country, why is it that young lives, young teenagers are looking for happiness and peace and opportunity in all the wrong places? Why is it that some adults are looking for happiness and opportunity and peace in this wicked world? When the only hope that there is, when the only happiness and opportunity and true peace that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything you need in life. When you hope in him, he is everything you need. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus Christ your everything? Listen, we look at our kids, and listen, my kids, they're so important to me. My wife, the most important person in my life is my precious wife. Jesus needs to be my everything. Because you know what? If Jesus is not my everything, I won't be the husband I'm supposed to be to my wife. If Jesus is not my everything, I won't be the dad that I'm supposed to be. If Jesus isn't my everything, I won't be the youth pastor that I'm supposed to be for these teenagers. I won't be the assistant pastor that I need to be for this church. I won't be the second man that I need to be for pastors when Jesus is not my everything. But when Jesus is my everything, when I can say Christ is all I need, when I have that heart, when he's my everything, I will be the right kind of husband. I will be the right kind of dad. I will be the right kind of assistant pastor and youth pastor. I will be the right kind of Christian because he is my everything. And when He is your everything, you will be exactly who you're supposed to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's in the ministry, whether it's just as a father and a husband or a wife and a mother, as a son or a daughter, as a student, as a teenager, whatever it may be in your life, in your job, you will be who God wants you to be and who you're supposed to be according to the Word of God when He is your everything. When you put your hope in Him, He's everything that you need in life. Pastor Mark, could you come to the piano real quick? I want you to play "Jesus Is All the World to Me." You could play it quietly. We're not invitation. I just want you to hear this as I read this, the lyrics to this beautiful hymn. And I want you to think in your life, if this is where you're at, if this is where you're at, it says, "Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day, and without Him, I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to Him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when He's so true to me? Following Him, I know I'm right." Hey, listen, there's times when I'm not right. When I'm following Him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following Him by day and night, He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust Him now, and I'll trust Him when life's fleeting days shall end. Listen to this. This can be you, folks. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, but not just that. Eternal joy. He's my friend. Is Jesus all the world to you? Is He everything that you need in life? Happiness, opportunity, peace, and everything that you need. If you take the first letter of each one of those points, it's easy to remember how we get our hope. Happiness, H. Opportunity, O. Peace, P. And everything you need, E. That spells out, what does it spell out? Hope. How many of you want hope today? Some of you need some hope. Some of you need happiness and peace and opportunity. You've been looking for it all the wrong places. Let me tell you once more that with God, there is hope. And when you hope in God, when you place your whole trust, when you say, "Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm giving it all to You," He will give you true happiness. He will give you true opportunity and true peace. And He will be everything that you could ever need in life. This country, this state, this world, your family, your co-workers, your friends, hey, they need you to hope in God. They need to see that you hope in God. So when times come in their life when they need hope, they can say, "Hey, you know what? I can look at so-and-so. I can look at Drake. I can look at Lindsay. I can look at Fred. I can look at Uncle Jack. Hey, and I can see that they're hoping in God. I want some of that hope." May we decide today, I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to stop hoping in everything else. I'm going to hope in God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together. Maybe today you need some hope.